Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? When we discern the body of Christ intentionally and we release our faith in it, we can expect to have healing and health in our bodies. And the way we discern the body of Christ is to look specifically at the different things that happen to His body. And the first thing we need to understand is that this bread is made without yeast. And Jesus' body was and is 100% completely without sin. And yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus never made a mistake. He had no sin in His body. You also notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that He was beaten for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. You'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. You'll also notice that this bread has been pierced. In every word that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood, and we get redemption in some area for it. And this bread is also slightly burned. And that tells us that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because it has no sin in it. It never died. It never dried up. It's still doing what God sent it to do. It's still washing us of our sins. It's still saving us. And it's because of that blood of Jesus, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. Because the blood of Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we thank You for this blood. We praise the blood, and we thank You in the name of Jesus for this. Open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how you have been anointed unto good works. See, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because He has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent you. Do you get the whole thing? You've been sent. You've been anointed. You've been powered up. And you've been sent. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Says how God anointed Jesus of heaven. Is that what it says? Well, talking to some people, you would swear that verse says how God sent Jesus of heaven. But that's not what he did. He sent Jesus of Nazareth. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That means a man on this earth in the flesh and blood. He was man. He was all man. I know Jesus is all God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. On this earth, he took upon himself manhood. See, we're supposed to be Christ followers, right? So how are we going to follow deity? We can't follow deity. Jesus identified with us so that we could identify with him. He came down here as a man, born of a woman. He grew up, and we know that he was in right standing with God. God was pleased with him. That means he didn't make any mistakes. And then he went and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He got baptized in water and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us when we get born again, we get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So now we go get dunked. Not tinkled, sprayed, squirted, poured, nothing else. Dunked. Baptized. You know, Greeks baptize their donuts. Sounds weird, doesn't it? But that's the true translation, dunked. We get dunked in water. That's part of our identification with Christ and obedience. And then we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge this, but they're missing out on so much that God has to offer. He sent the promise. They call it the promise of the Father in the Bible. God wants you to have his very best, so he sent Holy Spirit. That's how we go about kingdom business. That's how we go out into all the world and minister to people in need. Some, you would swear by talking to them that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for their own edification, so they can giggle and laugh, roll around on the floor, and come back, sit in the pew, and they're going to be blessed, blessed, blessed. They missed it. They missed it. It's the endowment of power so that you can go out there and help somebody else. See, that's the whole thing about Jesus. He wants us to help somebody else. True, he does want us to be blessed, but he wants us to help somebody else. You know, there's a lot of people out there that need to be set free. There's a lot of people out there that need help. Back here to 38, says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, God is not going to leave you. The Bible tells us that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So if he sends you somewhere, you're not going there by yourself. He's right there with you. In fact, he's with you to do what he sent you to do. Remember, it said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So when we go out there and we ask something in his name, like if we tell a devil to leave in the name of Jesus, guess what? All we have to do is that. Jesus makes sure it happens. When we go pray for the sick, Jesus does the healing. You know, there's no preacher on the face of this earth that is a healer. We're not healers. We're preachers. Jesus is the healer. Only Jesus can heal. We pray for people. We may cast out devils. This one really annoys some people. You can forgive people too. I had a lady get mad. I thought she was going to start throwing stuff at me. She said, "Who do you think you are, forgiving people?" I think she was mad. I said, "Well, that's what the Bible says. If I don't forgive you, how can I expect the Father to forgive me?" But you know what happens sometimes when people understand that they're not condemned, that they're forgiven, they can actually receive their healing. You know, some friends, this is why it's important to have a good circle of friends around you. This is why it matters. There was a man that was paralyzed, and he couldn't move. He couldn't get up and walk. But his friends carried him up to a roof and tore a hole through the roof and let him down in front of Jesus. That's why your circle of friends is important. This guy's friends brought him there. And then Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the guy got up and walked away. You see why it's important to understand that you're forgiven? Some people feel so condemned, they can't receive anything from God. They need to understand that the blood of Jesus took care of that. But we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we do things in the kingdom. And that's why kingdom work is so fun for people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not drudgery. It's not hard work. It's fun. I can tell almost right away when I run into a missionary what side of the line he stands on. If they come and they start asking me for money, number one, they start telling me how hard it is out in the mission field, how much work it is out in the mission field, I know they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're out there doing it on their own efforts. And they ain't getting a dime out of me. But the ones that come up to me said, "Man, I had a rocking good time." I talked to these guys. They said, "You can't believe what we did. We were going," and they said, "There was lepers. We seen lepers." One guy said he seen lepers in Australia. He said, "There was stuff all over. There's drug addicts." Said, "We were praying for people all over the place." Said, "Casting out devils. It was fun. We were everywhere. We went all over the place." That guy had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll load him up. He's going to go get something done. Amen. You're out there having fun. You see, that wasn't their hard work. It was Jesus doing hard work. They were getting to witness all that stuff. They were getting to see it all. But we're going to talk about a group of people. It started at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, said unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So right there, John Baptist described to us two different baptisms. One in water, which is what he did, and then Jesus was coming to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. So there's two different baptisms that we can receive. Actually, there's three baptisms that we need to be concerned with. The first one is to be born again. See, when you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. That's the one baptism that is needful for salvation. You got to be born again. Then we can go get water baptized, or we can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or we can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then get water baptized. You can see both scenarios in the Bible. Sometimes people got water baptized, they didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they didn't get water baptized. Or you can do like my friend did. He got dunked and he come up speaking in tongues. He got it both. Whatever you want to believe God for. Believe God for everything you can get. He's given you everything. You just want to believe Him for everything that you can receive. Amen? Now, Mark chapter 5, he just described part of us. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Before I start there, I noticed that people are creatures of comfort. And they get these little bubbles around them, these little comfort zones. And they want to stay within their comfort zone. So they naturally are drawn to people kind of like them. And they don't want to step out of that comfort zone. But see, God endued you with power so that you can expand your comfort zone. It's natural for people to want to go witness to people that are healthy and wealthy and wise and get them born again or bring them to church. But there's a whole group of people that get missed. There's a whole group of people running around out there that are bruised. They're completely crushed. They're shattered. They're broken. They're oppressed. They're lost. These are people that need our help desperately. And they're not comfortable people to be around for a lot of people. See, these are severe alcoholics or drug addicts. These are people that have been, some of them have been raped. Some of them have been beaten. Some of them have even been beaten in the name of religion. I ran into a guy. His soul was shattered. He asked his dad about one scripture in the Bible and he beat him till he couldn't hardly walk, pulled him out of school, said, "You're going to hell." Pulled him out of school and homeschooled him. Wouldn't let him go to school no more. Homeschooled him. Told him he was going to hell. Because of this one verse in the Bible. He's asking about the Holy Spirit. And then he got a girlfriend and he said, "You stay away from her." And he said, "You know, I married the devil's daughter." I said, "What are you talking about?" And he pointed up and he said, "There's the devil's church," and it was a great big Pentecostal church. And I tried to say, "No." He said, "You don't have to tell me anything about the Holy Spirit. I got the marks on my body, just people throwing me down on the ground." See, religion, the man-made religion needs to go away. But the true power of God needs to be seen in His people. See, these people need to be set free. There are people that are held captive. There are people that are have had so many traumatic things happen to them, they don't think that they have any value in the world at all. In fact, some of them have been told they don't have any value at all. And they need people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go tell them that they are special to God. See, they don't think that they can be redeemed. They don't think that they can be forgiven. They don't think that they can be helped. But you know, right here, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to read this whole story to you. That they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, we still have cutters today. I see people sometimes. I know what cutting looks like. I see them on their arms. I don't talk about the cutting. You know, the reason they cut is so that they can feel pain. They can feel something. Things have been so hard on them through their life until they've grown numb. So they cut themselves so they can feel pain. They can feel something. That's an outward expression of an inward malady. Their hearts are broken. Their souls are shattered. And they need somebody to reach out to them, not look down at them. Too many times, people are found that have been cutting, or they've been tattooed, or they've been marked up somehow, and they get looked down on instead of somebody looking to them to lift them up, to set them free. You know, a man that's been tattooed, he can be saved. You know, there's a lot of Christians running around with tattoos. A lot. One guy asked me, he said, you know, I can't find a church. Every time I go to church, he had tattoos all over himself. He said, every time I go to church, people look down on me so bad, until I don't want to go there anymore. He said, I had them before I got born again. He said, can I just wash them off? I said, don't worry about it, man. Jesus already washed everything that needs to be washed. You know, we find these people under bridges. We find them on the street. We find them in places that a lot of church people don't want to go to. But we find them all over the place. And sometimes we even find them in the important places. You know, sometimes these people are dressed very nicely and they're successful in the business world. They may have all the toys, a big house. They may have all the stuff. But these guys are a wreck inside. And they need help. See, that's the reason that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to go set these people free. Let's look at what happened to this guy here. So this guy was really, really a mess. Verse 6 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Did you notice Jesus' little deliverance session was just a few words? Come out of him, thou unclean spirit. He didn't take him to some special room and scream at the devil for 2 hours. The demon manifests himself, and Jesus said, Get out of here. See how short and simple? When a man has authority with God, just a few words is good enough when you use the name of Jesus. And after all, it's not us doing it, it's him doing it. But he said his name is Legion, for there was many. Sometimes people don't have just one demon in them. Sometimes there's a whole bunch of demons in them. You know, sometimes when people live in the world long enough, they have an opportunity to come into contact with a lot of different things that they don't necessarily want to come in contact with, but they get in contact with them anyway. So they're dragging a lot of bad baggage with them. And so here's what people don't understand. When somebody gets born again, their spirit got born again. But they got some baggage. That's why redemption is such a messy process sometimes. You know, they're still attached to their soul. And they've had some crazy ideas for a long time. And their body has been in contact with a lot of stuff. You know, there's people out there that have slept with multiple partners. So they have a whole bunch of soul ties they got to deal with. Sometimes they've come into contact with the occult. Some of them even come in contact with Satan worshiping stuff. So there's some stuff attached to them there. See, just because a man gets born again, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy. He came out of a dirty world. And he's been rolling around in that dirty world. And it's going to take him a little while for God to get him cleaned up. His spirit's cleaned up. His spirit's born again. But he's going to make a lot of mistakes because obviously he hasn't had enough time to get his mind renewed to the Word of God. So he doesn't really know one way from the next. You know, there's a whole lot of things that this man thinks is right that the Bible says is wrong. And a whole bunch of things that this man thinks is wrong that the Bible says is right. So he's going to make a lot of mistakes. One of my biggest annoyances is somebody will get born again somewhere and he'll be shouting hallelujah and there's like a grace bubble for like 30 days. I don't understand it, but there's like this bubble of grace around these people for like 30 days. And it's like everything's great and then that pink cloud gets busted. And then they start doing things the way they did them always. And then there'll be somebody standing around saying, Well, I knew he didn't really get born again. I knew it was just a show. That's terrible. I mean, the only thing he knows is that God raised Jesus back to life and that he confessed Jesus to be his Lord. He's born again. Yeah? Now we need to go in there like Paul did with the church of Corinth and start telling them who they are, not what they did. Did you catch that? We go in there and tell them, say, look, man, When you got born again, you got made a new creature in Christ. See, people don't know that. They don't know that they get to start over with a clean slate. They don't know that they've been made the temple of the Holy Spirit. They don't know that they've been put into right standing with God. All they know is they got born again. They have to learn all this other stuff. How are they going to learn it? By somebody telling them. I love Paul. He'd run into somebody that was doing wrong, and he would tell them who they are. Isn't that cool? Anyway, down here in verse 10, he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there near under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a deep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They came to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So right here, this whole group of people, you would think that right there, when the man that had been causing everybody trouble, they couldn't control him, he was a mess, all of a sudden, he's sitting there in his right mind and closed. You would think that that would spark a revival. But no, they were afraid. And they asked Jesus, said, you go somewhere else. We don't want any part of it. You know, that still happens today. Somebody will get set free. Somebody will get healed. And there will be a bunch of religious people saying, no, we need to stay away from there. You anoint somebody with oil. Do anything out of what they call ordinary, they want you gone. Don't back off. Well, anyway, verse 16 said, they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, they began to pray him to depart out of their coat. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed to him that he might be with him. Well, I don't blame him. He found somebody that would help him. I would want to stay with that guy too, wouldn't you? You know, Jesus has a way of asking us to do things sometimes that are not comfortable for us. Said, no, this is what he said here. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. So this guy really wanted to go with him. I would too. He said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. The guy just got set free. He got delivered from a terrible place. Everybody didn't like him. But Jesus said, go back into town where you're from And actually, Decapolis means 10 cities. They go back, tell everybody what I've done for you. You know, that's like the last thing anybody wants to do when you've caused a lot of wreckage in your town. The last thing people want to do is go into that town and say, look at the great things that Jesus has done for me. Well, you know, that's what he did. And then Jesus came back later, and then they had a revival. Don't worry, you know, if great big things don't happen right away, if you go in there and you pray for somebody, and that's all that happens, is maybe they change a little bit, and then maybe they change a little bit more, then pretty soon somebody who's watching will catch on to the change, and then maybe somebody else, and then maybe somebody else. But it doesn't always just come right. You know, you don't just go pray for one person and then tomorrow you got 15 people. But that's not what we're called to do. We've been called to go set those people free. And see, here's the really neat thing. It's not us that's doing it. We're praying, but it's Jesus that's setting them free. It's Jesus that's healing them. It's Jesus that's getting rid of the devils. We just go up there and say, devil, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Jesus does evacuating. It's really cool when you finally understand we do the praying and Jesus does the doing. That way we don't have to sit there and worry about having super faith. All we have to do is just stay connected to Jesus. Because it's not us doing it anyway. We're just praying. Or sometimes commanding. But see, he's given us the tools. He's given us the power. He's given us the authority. He's given us his name. He's powered us up with his Holy Spirit. And he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means even the ones that live under the bridge. Every creature. We better stop there because we're not going to get any farther. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the baptism of Holy Spirit. We thank you for this endowment of power that you've given us so that we can go into your kingdom, which is right out that door. It's your mission field that you sent us into, and we can preach the gospel. We can lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, speak in other tongues. And here in West Texas, if we take up serpents, they shall not harm us. That's our snake insurance. If we drink any deadly thing by accident, it shall not hurt us. So, Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus for all of these things. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. All right, we have cake back here.